Federal contractor groups have some strong objections to a new proposed rule from the Federal Acquisition Regulation Council. It would force contractors who have broken labor laws to disclose the violations before they can get another contract. The Labor Department has also endorsed it. Ben Brubeck is Director of Labor and Federal Procurement at the Associated Builders and Contractors. He joins me now to explain why so many contractors are so upset. Mr. Brubeck, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Tom. Good morning. How are you?
I nearly said Brubaker. So let me ask you this. What, from your point of view, does it look like this rule would require contractors to do?
Well, it's a very complicated proposed rule that was issued by the FAR Council as well as the DOL through a guidance memo last week. This implements President Obama's July 31st Fair Pay and Safe Workplaces Executive Order that has been opposed for about a year by the federal contracting community due to just the way we'll reshape the entire federal acquisition process. We have severe concerns about the reporting requirements that the proposal will require amongst contractors, and basically the way it's going to create a number of problems for federal contractors as well as subcontractors with the way that they collect information of reported violations. The executive order and the regulations go into great detail about which statutes are covered, and it's about 14 federal statutes, and at a later date we'll see a proposal that will describe state statutes, equivalent statutes to the 14 federal laws. So this is quite a bit of data collection that the federal contractors will have to collect and then certify in order to get a federal contract going forward. Not only does this impact prime contractors, but they have to certify the responsibility of all their subcontractors. The proposed rule is a little unclear on how that's going to work going forward, but if you've got a large federal contractor doing business in multiple states and they have to come up with a system that tracks the compliance with 14 federal laws as well as a number of equivalent state laws. And so this is just quite a giant matrix of new information they have to collect. And our understanding is that there will be some new officers through the Department of Labor. It's a new bureaucratic program that will require the contractors to certify compliance. And they'll work in concert with the contracting officers to determine whether a contractor is compliant or not. So we think this is going to shape how contracts move forward as well as how ongoing contracts are going to be renewed or awarded. This proposal goes back 3 years as well as applies to contracts over $500,000. So it's not only moving forward, but it's also looking back.
It seems, though, that if a contractor is in violation of a labor law, isn't that information already within the government's hands to begin with?
Yeah, there's a number of tools already that the contracting officers can access through a variety of different systems in place. I think that those systems are not optimally used. Unfortunately, this is creating a whole new regulatory burden and regime when really I think they should be focusing on the existing tools that are there and can improve those and provide that information to the contracting officer to move forward. You know, it's important to note that contracting officers have the ability to suspend or debar contractors and go through the existing processes at any time. It's also important to point out that a lot of labor law violations do carry penalties, and they go through a legal process as well as a process within the federal contracting community to make sure those don't happen again. So this is sort of reinventing the wheel here, and I'm not sure it's particularly necessary.
So it sounds like what you're saying is that it doubles the reporting because things are already reported that you would have to re-report, and it also doubles the penalties because contractors could be penalized for something they've already been penalized for.
Exactly. There's a bit of a double jeopardy in case and as a possibility here. And also, I mean, this is just a giant executive overreach. I mean, what we're seeing here is basically President Obama's been unable to get legislative reforms through Congress, and so he's assaulting federal contractors at this point with a number of new proposals that will advance interest groups throughout the Democrat base through policies put on federal contractors. And so this is just another example. I think it's probably one of the most onerous of all of the recent attacks on federal contractors because it just catches so many different workplace policies, safety, wage and hour issues within the workplace.
And if a contractor is hit with an allegation of an unfair labor practice, of course, contractors have the right to object to it and make their case. Does this call for even the alleged violations that are still in dispute?
Yeah, exactly. The DLO proposal goes into some details about what considers a labor violation. It defines what constitutes an administrative merits determination, an arbitral award or decision, or a civil judgment. And it gets into some more detail about what would trigger a violation. And it's pretty clear that basically this would deny a lot of contractors due process. Just a National Labor Relations Act complaint from a regional office would trigger reporting of that. And we see these rather commonly, especially in union organizing campaigns. And so we think that it would make a little more sense for the administration to change the proposal and let this go through an entire due process, as well as you know, let the litigation play out before, you know, jeopardizing the ability of contractors to get future contracts. Eventually, this is going to become a jobs issue. If some big federal contractors are debarred or penalized in the federal contracting universe, this will impact their ability to get private contracts or state contracts or international contracts, because most of those contracts typically say that if you can't do business with the federal government, you can't do business with us. So there's going to be a large ripple effect and unintended consequences through the entire federal contracting community that will result in job losses eventually once this gets sorted out.
We're speaking with Ben Brubeck. He's Director of Labor and Federal Procurement at the Associated Builders and Contractors. And so if you're one of the large companies, say, I don't know, a Clark Construction or McShane Construction, one of the big ones, what is your estimate of the cost and hours required, I don't know, per year that a rule like this would entail should it go into effect?
Well, it's tough to put an exact number on it. The Department of Labor and FAR came up with some analysis, and they think that the cost will be over $100 million on the entire community. We think those are woefully underestimated. When I talk to our large federal contractor members, they talk about the problems that this presents because they don't have a system or a software in place to track their performance going back 3 years on all contracts over $500,000, as well as all their performance of their subcontractors and on all their contracts to see if any of these issues are triggered. And unfortunately, this will involve, you know, violations of wage and hour issues with Davis-Bacon Act, OSHA violations, FLSA, and some of these issues are rather complicated, and frankly, the entire legal theories behind some of these laws haven't even been fully adjudicated. And we've seen evidence of this where the Department of Labor and some of the other federal agencies, which are in charge with of enforcing these laws, they can't even comply with their own laws. And so it's a very complicated process. We think that the contractors will have to hire their own high-level employees who are familiar with labor laws as well as federal contracting process. They'd have to comb through all the previous contracts, come up with a system to report that they are in compliance, and then have that system going forward on all federal contracts. And the rule says that these certifications have to be reissued every 6 months. So it's not just an upfront issue; it's an issue going forward. And so a lot of our federal contractors are trying to get their head around the entire process and a system to try to comply. And I think a lot of them, and I tend to agree with them, believes that this is going to be unworkable for a lot of contractors. And it's especially going to hit the small businesses very hard because this is a huge bureaucratic cost to them. And I think it's going to end up trickling down into the cost for taxpayers because you'll see less companies in the federal marketplace, and those that remain will have additional costs. And so that's just going to end up hurting the taxpayers more than it's probably intended to help.
And frankly, it sounds like a lot of work for the government, too. Do you have any informal feedback from the contracting officers, the people on the line right along there with the contractors themselves, about how they feel about it?
It's a little bit too early to know exactly how they feel. We've heard some comments offline from contracting officers with questions about how the determination process will work through the creation of the new labor compliance officers in each agency and with consultation with the Department of Labor. A lot of them have said that they're concerned this will slow down the procurement process, will lead to bid protests and more litigation, which will ultimately make their jobs more difficult. They have said that they would have final say in a lot of the contract award process, and that's my reading of the rule now, too, although it's difficult to know, you know, how this will actually work when it's put into place. We are concerned that generally the contracting officers are risk-averse. So if they are to rule a company to be not responsible to move forward on a specific contract or of renewing a contract, this will have a ripple effect on that contractor's ability to get contracts with other agencies. And then I talked earlier about how it could hurt their ability to get private work. And so, you know, we've kind of referred to this executive order as a blacklisting executive order because, you know, one and done, one issue, and you might actually not be able to get future contracts, and that could close businesses.
All right. So what is the what's your group going to do about this? I know there's a couple of groups in the IT area also, the Professional Services Council, that are also objecting to this. What's the plan to discuss this with the federal government?
Yeah, there's a broad coalition that's coalesced around this issue, representing federal contractors and businesses that want to get into the federal contracting industry at some point. And they're very concerned. We've been pretty active with the administration expressing our concerns with the executive order and proposals during listening sessions during the past year. We've also reached out to the Hill to see if there's any legislative angles that we can pursue that can slow this down or at least provide more clarity and information to how this executive order is going to hurt the federal contracting world. And the House Education and Workforce Committee held a hearing earlier this year. They really raised a number of issues of concern. We also believe that this will eventually lead to litigation, and so there's some discussion about legal strategies going forward and how to challenge this on a number of different fronts and try to, you know, make it more sensible or actually stop it in its tracks. And so all those things are playing out right now. You know, last week the proposed rules just came out, so this gives us a little bit something more concrete to shoot at this point.
I guess it's instructive that the Labor Department's guidance on this is 106 pages long.
Yeah, and the FAR Council's rule is about 120. So altogether, you know, you're pushing about 250 pages of regulations. And, you know, going through them, there's just been a number of concerns raised. And I think the federal contractors I speak to just aren't quite sure where to go from that. And so I think there'll be a big educational push on our end and the business community end to make sure that federal contractors understand what's coming and to prepare and to also figure out ways to reach out to their members of Congress and to their contracting officers and to all different folks in the federal acquisition community and let them know how much this is going to hurt them and offer suggestions on how to improve the process.
Ben Brubeck is the Director of Labor and Federal Procurement at Associated Builders and Contractors. Thanks so much for joining me.